Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening.
We begin another Lenten journey.
Even though we know the outcome of this journey, the message never really should get old. Because every day we face reminders of why the message of Lent and how it ends is needed. And so as we go through another journey this Lenten season, may the Lord God continue to revive you and refresh you with that ending. And how God now looks at us thanks to that ending through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. For the season of Lent is really all about Him, and not just the season of Lent, but the whole church here, all of life. And so we don't practice really focusing on what we give up for Lent because it's not about us. It's about Jesus and what He gave up for us. With that in mind, may the Lord God continue to bring you comfort in appreciating more and more what He gave up for you so that you and I and all people potentially could live free now and forever in and through Jesus. What then is holding you back in living a life free in Jesus? A variety of emotions may come to mind. One of those emotions that can cut to the heart is guilt. And from that too, Jesus has set us free. And so God help us then live the life that Jesus has enabled us to live. And through the means of grace and the work of the Holy Spirit, He does just that. That we can live lives free in Jesus. To also help us live free in Jesus, we are celebrating the Lord's Supper this evening. As noted on page 3, there are some questions and answers to help us focus on preparation for the Lord's Supper. Whether we partake of it or not, these are healthy questions and answers to reflect on. At this time, we'll just focus on a few of them. I will read the third question, ask you to read the answer with it. Page 3, in the middle, the third question. When I realize that I have sinned against God and deserve His punishment, what should I do?
I will confess before God all my sins, those which I remember, as well as those of which I am unaware. I will pray to God for His mercy and forgiveness.
And the next question, how do I receive His gracious forgiveness?
His word assures me that Jesus led a pure and holy life for me and died on the cross for me to pay the full price for all my sins. Through faith in Jesus, I have been clothed in my Savior's perfect righteousness and holiness.
And turning to page 4, the second question on the top of the page. How will I respond to this priceless gift from Jesus?
I will daily thank and praise Him for His love to me. With His help, I will fight temptation, do my best to correct whatever wrongs I have done, and serve Him and those around me with love and good works.
That, dear friends, is living free in Jesus. Turn now to page 5 with the invocation. We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God our Father, each day is a gift of Your grace.
Your mercies are new every morning.
Guide our steps by the light of Your word.
Shield us from harm and keep us from evil.
Thank you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children, but we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
Daughter, Heavenly Father, has forgiven all
your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen.
We pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who led your people Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Enlighten our darkness by the light of your Christ. May His word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. For you are merciful and you love your whole creation.
We, your creation, glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
On this Ash Wednesday, and as we then continue with the Lenten journey, we give thanks that the Lord continued to keep His presence among us and intervened and carries out His justice. For we would shudder what would be the result if He had not. And so the Lenten journey became necessary. A reading from Holy Scripture, Isaiah 59. For our offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities, rebellion and treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on our God, inciting revolt and oppression, uttering lies our hearts have conceived. So justice is driven back, and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found. And whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So His own arm achieved salvation for Him, and His own righteousness sustained Him. He put on righteousness as His breastplate, and the helmet of salvation on His head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped Himself in zeal as in a cloak. According to what they had done, so will He repay wrath to His enemies and retribution to His foes. He will repay the islands their due. From the west, people will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun, they will revere His glory. For He will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. Lord, have mercy on us.
And give us your peace.
Amen. Turn now to Psalm 51, and we'll join together in singing this psalm. It's found on the back cover, page 16. Repentance is good for the soul, along with relationships. Praise the Lord, the Lenten journey brings freedom. A reading from Holy Scripture, 2 Corinthians 7. Even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you? What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. So even though I wrote to you, it was neither on account of the one who did the wrong, nor on account of the injured party, but rather that before God, you could see for yourselves how devoted to us you are. By all this, we are encouraged. Lord, have mercy on us.
And give us your peace. Amen.
Please stand as able for the gospel reading for
this Ash Wednesday service.
A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Do you get caught up in contests of who has it worse? Especially during the Lenten season, let us not go down that road. Thankfully, Jesus went the way of the cross for us, so that even our present sufferings then are not worth comparing to the eternal glory that awaits us thanks to Him. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Lord, have mercy on us.
And give us your peace. Amen.
The hymn, Lamb
of God, please be seated. Thankfully, this still remains ours, and that is God's grace and His mercy and His peace, and it is clearly evident to us through His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we focus on the Scriptures this evening. We hear these words from Mark 14. The high priest tore his clothes. "Why do we need any more witnesses?" he asked. "You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They all condemned him as worthy of death. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It couldn't have been that bad, could it? What is it, that one thing that tends to keep you up at night more than you would like it to? Maybe it's that vase or glass jar that your parents inherited from great-grandma, and they were gone that one night, and you decided to play catch in the house, and it went plop, and the guilt formed because you know how precious that vase or jar was and is to your parents. And so what do, right? You get out the super glue, a little piece of tape. They won't even know because it's against the wall. But what do you know every time you look at that vase or jar? They may miss the tape at first, but you know it's there. And you know why. Because what did they tell you before they left the house? "Jimmy, don't play catch in the house while we're gone." But they'll never know, right? Because this is before cameras in the house. But you know. And you know who else knows? God. Nothing escapes Him. It may escape our teacher when they have their backs away from the class, but God knows. And who else knows? You do. You know that you are doing something wrong. And if you truly care, guilt starts. And guilt can eat you up. Think of King David. Psalm 32. Guilt ate him up. And in a sense, rightly so. All the sin that he had committed, just the sin related to that act of adultery. It was only until he was confronted and led to come clean that he could deal with that guilt. And thus confess the words we sang earlier. That child in the classroom, when that child comes clean and admits to their Heavenly Father and even perhaps to the teacher that they were the one, the guilt can subside and go away. It may come back, but there's something important to remember. Or even that vase. The Lord doesn't want you to dwell on the guilt forever. He wants you to focus rather on what he's done with what led you to feel guilty and the guilt itself. And so we focus this Lenten journey on what Jesus has done for us to enable us to deal with sin and guilt and to live the life that he has called us and wants us to live free in Jesus. Because what does Jesus know about us? Even though he has called us to be his own and he's given us his word to be a lamp to our feet, he knows we're going to go against what we know we should not do. Do it anyway, and there will be consequences. And those consequences will come with guilt. And if you don't deal with that guilt, what happens? It's going to eat you up all the days of your life. You know, the Apostle Paul, in the reading we heard earlier, what did he say? I am sorry that I hurt you, but then again, I'm not sorry. Because you needed to be hurt. You needed to come clean of your sin and repent and not live in that sin and what comes with it any longer. That's the same message for you and me. What is that sin that perhaps we're holding on to that we think no one knows about, but we know God knows? And there are probably others around us who know too. And as we're not coming clean and free from that sin, what is it doing to us? Mentally? Physically? Spiritually? What will take place if we do not come clean with that sin and the guilt that follows? Can we fall away from what the Lord has called us to? Well, some would say, you know, once you are saved, you never fall away, you just make mistakes. I don't know what Bible they're reading, but they're not reading God's Bible. We fall short of God's expectations each and every day. Even as children of God, we fall short of his expectations. And so what do we need to lift to be lifted up again? Not our righteousness, not our good deeds, but the righteousness of Christ. The only way that we can live free is in and through Jesus. And so that Lenten journey this year once again reminds us of how important the work of Jesus is. So that we can live free. We have been called, set apart to live free. And yet we also realize in this side of heaven, we're going to fall. And when we fall, can come guilt. And that guilt can eat us up if we don't deal with it. We can try to deal with the guilt with tape and super glue. We can try to deny that what action I am doing is a sin. We can say, well, everybody's doing it nowadays. We can try to say that God's word needs an update. We can even go as far as trying to deny God's existence as a way to deal with our sin and guilt. But that doesn't work in the long run. The sin is still there. And the guilt still needs to be dealt with. Again, thankfully, God has mercy on us and has dealt with our sins and the guilt, not by putting the onus on us, but on his own Son. So again, Lent is not about what we sacrifice. It's about what God sacrificed for us so that we would not have to sacrifice. Rather, we get the opportunity to show our love for him by what he has done for us. And what is it that he has done for us? The gospel writer Mark captures that for us. When Jesus was put on trial, they headed in for him. just for dramatic effect, tore his robes. Why do we need any more witnesses? He claims to be the Son of God. What a blasphemer. Well, Jesus wasn't the Son of God. He wasn't faking it. He didn't have it wrong. He knew who he was and is. And he tried to witness that to the people of his time. And it's witnessed on the pages of Scripture for all time. And yet, though Jesus knew who he was, for us, he was willing to take the false charge. He who had no sin was willing to become sin for us. Willing to stand up to the abuse that was before him. And willing to hear the sentence, "You're being condemned to death." A painful death. Excruciating death. Again, why would he do that? God so loves you that he was willing to give up his one and only Son so that you and I and others could have the gift of eternal life, because there's no other way to attain it than through his Son. Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There is no other way to deal with sin and guilt than through Jesus. I mean, you know people, perhaps you yourself were there at one time, maybe you're still struggling, who try to deal with guilt on our own. Might be through a bottle or a pill that we should not be taking, or excuses or denial. Jesus holds out his hand and voice to you and says, "Not that way, but the cross. The cross I was willing to be condemned to die on for your sin and the sin of all people, so that you would no longer have to live under the condemnation of sin and live with guilt, but rather be free from that which can entangle us." And you know who's good at trying to keep us entangled in our guilt? Who likes to ask, "You know, are you sure you're forgiven for that?" Satan knows us well too. And he pulls out all the stops to get us to focus not on the cross and what that represents and means, but rather on our sin and the guilt, to allow it to eat us up. How do we combat that? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in what he has done for you. Grow in it more and more. He went to the cross for you to deal with your sin once and for all and the guilt that comes with it, so that we then could live free now and into eternity. Free from the condemnation of sin and free from guilt. Not only do we need that message ourselves time and time again, in fact, the Lord renews that every day. His mercies are fresh and new. He provides you and me the opportunity to be his ambassadors, to reach out to others that you know who are dealing with their sin. Maybe they're not open about it. They're dealing it within their own way. Maybe they're dealing with guilt. Maybe they're not even focused on their sin as they ought to be. How can you approach them? Speaking the truth in love about their sin and need to repent. Or if they feel sorry for their sin but are beating themselves up with guilt, what can you say to them? What God says to you through his word is what you then have to say to them. And we realize then again, it's not we who are speaking that message of compassion and forgiveness through the cross. It is as if Jesus were speaking through us. That's the power of the cross. That's living free in Jesus. Again, not just for ourselves, but encouraging others to live free in Jesus as well. And so, yeah, you know what? Maybe when I was a child, I broke that vase. Let it go. Not the vase. Let the breaking of it go. It's been paid for already. But you know what? I want you to simmer in your guilt some more. I want you to feel like a rotten person the rest of your days. That way you're going to sit in these pews and you're going to give all you can give to the church and everything else. We want people to be miserable. No. That's not what Jesus wants, and that's not what he called us to want. If the other churches want to focus on misery, let them. But may we witness to them too. Jesus lives. Why are we acting like he's still dead? Live free in Jesus. Your sin has been paid for. Your guilt has been removed. And when you sin again and that guilt comes eating away at you again and again, go to the cross and ask the Lord to help you live free. And he does. You are free in Jesus. Isn't that a good feeling? And it's okay to feel good. A Lutheran should feel good because we're about Jesus and his cross and living free in Jesus. Enjoy the journey, dear friends. You are free. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen. We join now in the prayer of the church. Holy and righteous God, as we begin again the solemn spiritual journey of Lent, we come before you in deep humility. We confess that we are sinners both by the nature we inherit and by the sinful thoughts and desires, words and actions that nature produces. Because of our sins, we deserve only your wrath and punishment. Yet you reveal yourself not only as a God of holiness and justice, but as a God of mercy and love. Despairing of our own merits and worthiness, and in response to your gracious invitation, we come pleading for your forgiveness.
Lord, have mercy on us for your holy name's sake.
You have revealed your love and mercy for us sinners in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. You sent him into our world to be the atoning sacrifice for the sins of all people. Help us grasp by faith the great truth that the pain and suffering, the mockery and ridicule, and the death and punishment he endured should have been ours. Help us understand that in incomprehensible love, he suffered and died for us.
Lord, have mercy on us for Jesus' sake.
In silent meditation, let us reflect on our sins, praise our Savior for the forgiveness he has won for us, and ask for God's continued grace to remove any doubt that we are forgiven. God of grace and mercy, may your Spirit continue to be with us as we follow the way of the cross. As we contemplate the story of our Savior's passion, build us up in our faith. Renew in us the zeal to serve you by reflecting your love in our lives. Give us the desire and the ability to boldly proclaim the grace in which we stand. so that all for whom you lived and died may join us in fellowship now and in your presence forever.
We offer our humble thanks and praise, our prayers and petitions, and ourselves in body and spirit to you, Lord God. Hear us according to your promise, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
And we also pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
We pray. Lord God, all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Just to highlight a couple of announcements, maybe some of you saw it in the post that came out. Due to weather, inclement weather, the Martin Luther College Touring Choir, they were supposed to be in the Pacific Northwest at this point in time, but they are not able to get a flight out of Minnesota till Saturday, and so they're going to continue with the Northern California tour. And they asked if we could host them. We weren't on the schedule, but they asked if we could make an exception, and for a price we agreed. So this coming Sunday, 8 o'clock service will be as normal, and then at the 10:45 service, the MLC choir will be here. It'll be an extended service, so both services will be different. If you want to make a morning of it, that'd be awesome. And just recognize that Bible study will be held then in the multipurpose center. They'll need this space at 9:15 to start setting up their risers and so forth. They have about 70 members in the choir. And then we plan to feed them pizza and salad. We had salad for supper tonight, so pizza and salad. Everyone who is here on Sunday is welcome to join them for the lunch in the multipurpose center. Great opportunity to encourage these young men and women going into the ministry. One more announcement, March 8th, Wednesday night service. Another special treat. The California Lutheran High School Touring Choir will be here and we'll be putting on our Lenten service, our focus on worship that night. So hopefully you'll have an opportunity to make time to come and worship as they lead our worship that evening. They will be here for supper as well. There's only about 25 of them, so there'll be more food for you. Now, there'll be plenty of food on Sunday as well. Lord willing, God is always good and gracious. So a couple significant special events that we are blessed with in the near future. So blessings on your Lenten journey. We do take the message seriously, but we also know that thankfully through Jesus we can live free, and it's okay to laugh. To God be the glory. Have a great night. Thank you.